It's KUOW's The Record. I'm Bill Radke. Now we're going to answer one of your questions.
My name is Mary Wisner. I wonder, what happens to the recycling after I put it in the bin? Thanks.
Thanks for wondering and for asking us, Mary. Here's one answer in the form of the sound effect. Yeah, that's a sound of an optical sorter using pressurized air to separate plastics at Recology Cleanscapes. It's a recycling sorting center in King County. But to truly answer Mary's question, what happens to my recycling waste, we're going to have to go to China. We're going to have to climb inside a dirty peanut butter jar. Let's begin with China. The Chinese government is reorganizing its whole recycling system, which is going to affect you and me here in Washington State. We're going to take your calls, so I'm going to give out the phone number first. Your recycling questions, just like Mary's, maybe more detailed. What do you want to know about how your recycling works? Give us a call right now, 206-543-5869. 206-543-5869. Okay, now to tell you about China, we have Elijah Wolfson, who's science editor of the news site Quartz. Elijah, welcome to KUOW.
Thanks for having me.
So recycling is not something our government runs. It is a market. Could you just, in a nutshell, let us know how the recycling market works?
Sure. So municipalities decide what to do with their solid waste, and some of them invest in local reclamation facilities so that the stuff gets recycled nearby. And but in many cases, it is also shipped out to other countries that have higher capacity for recycling or higher need for raw materials than, say, Washington State might. So, it is a market. People are willing to pay for this stuff to some extent. It's not highly valuable, but in bulk it can be.
And a lot of that material goes to China, two-thirds of the world's recyclables, I've heard. And as I said, China's about to stop taking some of our recyclables. Why are they doing that?
Yeah, so China imports something in the range of, $18 billion a year worth of recyclables annually. They are currently, so in June, they issued new regulation that would restrict a number of categories of recyclables that were traditionally, that have been imported there for the last couple of decades. There's a number of reasons for it. It's sort of complex. There's no single cause, but among other things, the way you can think about it is that in the past, or in the recent past at least, China and a lot of other developing countries have been the source of production of a lot of plastics and paper packaging and that sort of thing that gets sent over to North America and Western Europe, and then we throw it out and send it back to them.
Mm-hmm.
But as China has, as China's economy has improved and the middle class has grown, they're a market themselves for this stuff, and so they don't really need our secondhand materials anymore.
And what are they not taking anymore? One thing I heard is that they're not taking dirty, contaminated waste.
Well, yeah.
Even food waste.
Actually. They launched a program back in something like 2013, I believe, where they, it didn't change the actual sort of rules around what could come into the country, but what it did do is it gave regulators more power to manage and reduce the contamination of the recyclable materials that were being imported into China. The initiative was called the Green Fence, and it did actually dramatically decrease the overall number of waste imports that China had. But recently, the regulations that we're talking about right now are more specific. It is specifically to ban 24 varieties of solid waste. It includes most recyclable plastics, so I'm sure your listeners have heard of PET and PVC. And it also includes things like paper and textiles and a number of other things. So it's a pretty broad ban, actually.
And bottom line, what does this mean for our listeners? What are they going to do, or should they be doing differently because China is not taking what it used to?
Well, I don't know if the average the average person really can do much about this. I mean, ultimately, it's going to be up to Washington State to figure out what it wants to do with this. In the past 15 years, as China has emerged as a destination for some of these recyclables, many states, including Washington, have really decreased their capacity to manage recyclables and solid waste. So, for example, in the last 15 years, Washington has only opened one new landfill, and it's closed seven. I think that what's going to have to happen is that the state and other states, especially on the West Coast, California as well, which is where I'm based, are going to have to adjust and either figure out invest in capacity to recycle and reclaim waste materials, or invest in technology that improves the overall ability to do this at scale. So I think we'll see. But for the average person, I mean, I don't think there's anything you could really do to change things.
Okay, so maybe our technology will improve. Maybe some American recycling plants will pop up if China's not taking what they used to. Elijah Wolfson, science editor at Quartz, thanks a lot for this.
Thanks for having me.
Now, there are already a lot of recycling processed in Seattle. We've got Kevin Kelly here with us, the general manager of Recology Cleanscapes in the Industrial District. The Industrial District, where is that?
We're down in the Georgetown area.
Oh, okay, got it. And we've got you here. Thanks for coming, by the way.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
To explain the ins and outs of recycling and to answer your question. So again, I want to give out the phone number, 206-543-5869, 206-543-5869. Seattle recycles how much of its waste, roughly?
It's about 60%. So that means of all the material that's being collected, 60% is staying away from landfills. Now, that's a combination of both recycling, traditional recycling, and composting. So that's the yard waste, the food scraps, the things that are going into the green bin. So that's a very high number and something that Seattle and its residents should be proud of.
I heard that China doesn't want to take food-contaminated recyclables. Have you heard that?
We have. And that's been true for a long time. That's not necessarily a new issue. One of the issues with food contaminants is that it ruins the fibers in the paper. So it makes it weaker and more reduces the quality of the material that we're recycling.
Okay, because I was picturing my peanut butter jar or my plastic orange juice jug. It's all being incinerated. What does it matter whether it's got a little drippings in it?
Well, it's not being incinerated.
Oh, let's start there.
But it is. Once it leaves a facility like ours in South Seattle, what we do is we sort all of the material out because you put several different types of material in one bin. And our job at our facility in Seattle is to sort all of that out by material type and make sure that it's sent off to the end user, whoever that may be, whether it's China or somebody else, in a condition where they can actually recycle and reuse that material.
Okay, so even in that sorting plant, food messes up the papers.
It does. It affects the ability to process it and ultimately end up with a high quality material, which is ultimately.
So I got to wash out my peanut butter jar?
What we say is if you have enough peanut butter left in there to make one peanut butter and jelly sandwich, that's too much.
Okay, I don't leave that much. I'm too stingy for that.
That's great. That's what we're looking for.
Oh,
the cleaner the better. Clean and dry is what we're looking for.
Okay. All right. So why dry? Why dry?
Well, dry makes it, it makes it easier to process because of the equipment that we're dealing with. But it also, again, with fiber material specifically, it has an impact on the quality of the material that ultimately gets recycled.
I don't have a separate drying rack for stuff that I'm recycling and throwing into my bin. You know that, right?
I do. I appreciate that. Okay. And from time to time here in Seattle, we do get that rainy stuff coming from the sky.
Yeah.
And so, we understand understand that it's not always perfect, but to the extent that people understand the importance of the clean and dry, and if they take even, you know, small steps, they can have a big impact, because this is all about large quantity and large volume. So every step of the way, if people are making a difference, it helps.
Becky on Facebook says, I just discovered there's no longer anywhere in Washington State that recycles car seats. True?
We are having issues with car seats in part because of how they have to be disassembled. So there was actually a vendor locally who was doing that who has since stopped. So we are looking
That seems like a ton of solid. There's got to be a bunch of energy in that heavy plastic in my old car seat.
There is. And there are restrictions around what you can do with a car seat in terms of if the seat has been in an accident and it expires after a certain point in time.
Thus, all the people wanting to recycle them.
That's right. And so there is valuable material there with the fabric and the plastic. But the requirements to disassemble all that has made it difficult.
We're taking your calls, 206-543-5869, your recycling questions. Maybe we can settle a bitter family argument for you. What about bottle caps? I've heard that you have to unscrew those, and I heard that you don't.
Sure. So what we say and what we would encourage you to do is check in your local community to make sure that you're doing it the right way. And there's great resources with both King County and the City of Seattle to confirm these things. What we say for bottle caps is that we would like them left on the bottle, because what happens is it's still plastic and it's still recyclable. It's just a different type of plastic from the PET in the bottle. And when it's sent to the end user, they separate those plastics in water. They scoop the bottle cap material off the top. They get the PET off the bottom, and you're recovering all of that resource.
It's an amazing sounding machine. What about so many of us get deliverables, Amazon and otherwise, these cardboard boxes? I break down everything and I pull off the tape, because it doesn't seem like the tape should go in the same place as to it shouldn't be attached and sticky attached to the very recyclable cardboard. Is that right? What should I do?
You know, that's great if you do that, and if you do, we want to encourage you to continue doing that. You don't have to.
You have $5 on you? You can just give it to me, because that would be a small price to pay for all the time I've gone through. Okay, go on.
But no, in any case, it is the tape will be handled as the product is recycled throughout that process.
So you could leave the tape. You don't have to do that. That's going to save me some time. Yeah. I owe you $5.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Kevin Kelly's GM of Recology Cleanscapes in the Industrial District. And Becca says, shouldn't we in America be able to find ways to use our refuse without shipping it across the world? Is this just the naive wish of an uninformed greenie?
No, it's not. In fact, I think that really what we want to strive—
Becca's on Facebook, by the way.
Oh,
yes.
Hi, Becca on Facebook. What we want to encourage people to do is think about the resources and the materials they're using in the first place. Because if you're using things that are durable, that are long-lasting, you don't have to—if you're not generating waste or recyclable material in the first place, you don't have to worry about managing it.
Mm-hmm.
So to the extent you can think about the types of things that you use and that you can reuse, and there are resources out there where you can do that. We have retail stores that offer products where you can have durable, long-lasting materials for your house.
Should we tweet out a link to a resource? Our listeners might want to know more information.
Absolutely.
Okay, so join us on Twitter at KUOW. We have a phone call for you from Siobhan in Gig Harbor. Welcome. What's your question?
Hi. I would like to know why I can't recycle glass here in Gig Harbor.
So that would be a question particular to your community, and I would encourage you to look on your local county or city's website.
What's the theory? What's the glass problem?
One of the things I would say about glass is, because of the way it's picked up in the trucks, what happens to it is that it's broken up into many pieces. And as it becomes glass shards and pieces of glass, it causes a lot of damage to the equipment that processes it. And so there are some places that do not like to see glass in their recycling streams, or what they'll do is they'll separate it it out entirely, because glass is recyclable and it's a reusable resource. It can cause damage to the equipment that sorts all the other material out.
What about plastic bags? It's plastic, so it's recyclable, right?
It is. The issue with plastic bags, and what we tell our customers to do, is to bag the bags. And what we mean by that is take one plastic bag that you get at a grocery store, for instance, and stuff all your other bags in there and create one big ball and tie it up. The reason we ask customers to do that is because it can be pulled off by a person at this recycling facility before it wraps around our equipment. Because what will happen is, if enough of those plastic bags get into that equipment, it will tie it up and ultimately shut us down for a period of time. And you have to have a person go in and cut these bags out. So the material is recyclable, but if not handled correctly, it can cause a lot of damage to the system.
What about labels on bottles and jars? Should I be pulling those off as I do?
Same thing with the tape on the Amazon boxes.
I am overzealous.
So now do you owe me $10?
Yes, I do. Right. It's just really mounting. What are you a fanatic recycler in your personal life?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I see the value of it every single day, because I see the types of things that people discard on a daily basis, and I see it in great volume. And so it gives me an appreciation to make sure that we're treating our resources with care. I'm a runner. I have running shoes made from ocean plastic.
Cool.
It's the topic of family dinners.
Oh.
So yeah, I'm into it.
I like recycling. I would hang out with you. It wouldn't bore me or guilt trip me.
Well, you keep laying these $5 bills
true,
on me. And,
true. Here's a call from Jasmine in LeConnor. Jasmine, I've asked this one myself. What's your question, please?
Hi, I'd like to know why you can't recycle styrofoam.
Yeah.
You can recycle styrofoam.
Huh?
Yeah.
I haven't been doing that.
Now, not in your curbside bin. What you can do is you can take that to different locations. Again, I'll say that Recology has four recycling stores where you can drop off hard to dispose of items like recycling. There is actually a company in Kent called Styrocycle, and they take all the styrofoam, they densify it, and it gets turned into things like picture frames, eyeglasses, or the eyeglass frames, all sorts of things. So styrofoam can be recycled. It is just a question of getting it to the appropriate place.
Okay, so I could have been recycling it, and I didn't. Now I owe you $15. This is Kevin Kelly, GM of Recology Cleanscapes in the Industrial District. That's our time now. Will you come back again?
Absolutely.
I bet there's going to be more questions.
My pleasure.
A final thought from Joshua on Facebook says, recycling was never intended as a panacea for overconsumption. Emphasis should be on reduction, followed by reuse, then recycling, hence the catchphrase, reduce, reuse, recycle. Sounds like you agree.
And that's absolutely right.
Okay.
If you don't generate it, you don't have to manage it.
Well put. Kevin Kelly from Recology Cleanscapes. Great to talk with you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Bill.